Chapter 10 Vibhuti Yoga, The Divine Glories of the Lord. The Supreme Lord said, O heroic Arjuna, listen to my supreme word once again. Desiring your welfare, I shall speak to you who are very dear to me. Neither the demigods nor the great sages can understand my transcendental appearance in this world, as I alone am the origin of those celestial beings and sages. One who knows me, the son of Devaki, as the birthless, beginningless, supreme lord of all beings, is undeluded among men and completely liberated from sin. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from delusion, forbearance, truthfulness, mental control, sense control, happiness, unhappiness, birth, death, fear, courage, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame and infamy, all these various attributes of the living beings are born of me alone. The seven great sages headed by Marichi, and preceding them, the four Brahmana sages headed by Sanaka, and also the 14 Manus or progenitors headed by Svayambhuva, all are empowered by me and are born of Lord Brahma, who is a manifestation of my mind. Mankind and all progeny descends from these patriarchs. One who thus knows in truth my supremacy and devotional service serves me in unwavering realization. Of this there is no doubt. I am Krishna, the sweet absolute, the origin of all. The entire universe of material and transcendental play, activity, purpose, and the Vedas and allied scriptures which give guidance, all evolve from me alone. Realizing this hidden treasure, persons of fine theistic intelligence surpass the mundane and embrace the path of love divine, Raga Marga, and adore me forever. Commentary. Verses 8 to 11 are the four principal verses of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. The ontological substance of the book is contained within these four essential verses, beginning Ahang Sarvasya Prabhavo, quote, everything evolves from me, close quote. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1 to 11, the three main conceptions of the Absolute are given as Brahman, Paramatman and Bhagavan. Brahman is the all-comprehensive aspect of the Absolute. Paramatman is the all-permeating aspect of the Absolute. And Bhagavan is the personal conception of the Absolute. The word Bhagavan is generally defined as stated in the Vishnu Purana, quote, he who is full with the six opulences of wealth, power, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation is known as Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. Close quote. The characteristic of Bhagavan as Lord Narayan is that all kinds of potencies are personally controlled by him. However, Srila Jiva Goswami has given a special and particularly fine interpretation. Bhagavan means Bhajaniya Guna Vishishta. His nature is such that whoever comes into contact with him cannot resist serving him. No one can resist feeling moved to worship and adore his charming personality. As Lord Krishna, he attracts the love of everyone. Therefore, by the word Sarvasya, Lord Krishna indicates, quote, I am Svayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord Himself. I am the origin of not only Brahman and Paramatman. I am also the origin of the Master of all potencies, who commands the respect of everyone, Lord Narayan of Vaikuntha. Mattaha sarvam pravartate. Every attempt and movement begins from me, including the methods by which everyone worships and serves me in devotion. Close quote. And a new quote from Kathopanishad 1.2.23. Quote, the Lord cannot be known by logic, intelligence, or extensive study of the scriptures, but he reveals himself to one who is eager to serve him and prays to him for his grace. Close quote. In this way, Mataha Sarvam Pravartate, quote, I am the first to reveal to the people, worship me in this way. I appear as Guru, and through him I worship myself. Close quote. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.17.27, the Guru is described by the Lord as his own direct manifestation. Sri Krishna said to his devotee Uddhava, quote, you should know the bona fide spiritual master as my very self. Gurudev is the embodiment of all the gods. Never dishonor him or find fault in him by ascribing any mundane conception of place, time and circumstances to him. Close quote. Furthermore, the Lord's finest potency is Srimati Radharani. Of course, there are many other eternal associates, but the highest order of devotional service is represented in Srimati Radharani. The Lord is therefore saying, quote, my worship is shown by me. I, as my finest potency, worship myself. Iti matva bhajante mam. Understanding this conception, the devotee will come to worship me always under the direction of my best worshipper, my finest potency and representation, Radharani or Gurudev. Crossing her, the highest and most desirable form of service to me is not possible. Close quote. Radhadasyam, the servitorship of Srimati Radharani, is indicated here. Only those who are blessed with divine intelligence will be able to appreciate this, and not persons with self-acquired intelligence from this mayic quarter, the world of misconception. In this verse, the word buddhaha refers to sumedashaha, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Or persons of fine theistic intelligence arising from direct connection with the transcendental plane. The inner guidance and direction they receive is the outcome of sukriti, divine merit acquired by the association of pure devotees. Bhava samanvitaha means raga samanvitaha, anuraga, love and attraction, which is affinity, not by strictly following scriptural rules or drawn from any plane of loss and gain, but from bhava, inner divine inspiration. Devotion of this high type is completely non-calculative, jnana shunya bhakti, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 119. Quote, the highest devotion is that which satisfies Lord Krishna, free from the coverings of any pursuits such as action and knowledge. Close quote. The most rare and elevated stage of devotion is in the line of spontaneous devotion, known as Raga Marga. In that line, guided by the qualified guru, an elevated pure devotee may attain service to a leader of one of the groups of Krishna's personal associates who serve the Lord in his pastimes in a relationship of friendship, sakyaras, parenthood, vatsalyaras, or consorthood, madhuraras. In Vrindavan, the Lord is served in spontaneous devotion by his friends headed by Subal Sakar, and by his parental devotees headed by Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. The gopis headed by Lalita and Vishakha serve him in consorthood. But amongst all his associates and amongst all the gopis, the highest order of divine loving service is rendered to the Lord by Srimati Radharani. Therefore, the acme of Raga Marga is the service of Radharani, Radha Dasyam. This is the highest objective of the Rupanuga Gaudiya Sampradaya, the followers of pure devotion as taught by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the end of the commentary, and back to the translation of the texts. Text 9. Always thinking of me, those surrendered souls converse about me, enlightening one another with the nectar of their devotional realizations, ever content and ecstatic in their divine natures. And a commentary for this verse also. The Supreme Lord Krishna is speaking about his pure devotees. Quote, I am in the heart of their hearts, in their every thought. Their entire energy, their whole life, is dedicated to my satisfaction. They converse with one another about me and experience mutual enlightenment. They always love to talk about me with whoever they meet, and nothing else. For every time, place and circumstance, I am the only subject of their discussion. They find very much satisfaction in this. Tushyanti cha. End of quote. Up to the divine relationship of parenthood, there is the feeling of satisfaction. Furthermore, romanticha, quote, just as a wife enjoys a conjugal relationship with her husband, the devotees similarly feel such ecstasy in my intimate company when speaking about me. End of quote. This has also been mentioned by the previous acharyas. And back to the translation. Text 10. To those devotees who are always lovingly engaged in my service, I give the divine inspiration by which they can come to me. Commentary. The Lord says, quote, the highest group of my servitors, whose devotion was described in the previous verse by the word Ramanti, are those who are constantly engaged, satata yukta, in my service in consorthood, madhura rasa, with heartfelt love, bhajatam priti purvakam. End of quote. Then he says that he will give them further inspiration or inner instruction, quote, by which they can come to him. Close quote. Yena mam upayantite. When already in this and the previous verse, the devotee's service to the Lord has been described as eternal by the words nityam and satata yukta, now the statement that he will give them further inspiration by which they can come to him may appear to be redundant. Therefore, in the expression mam upayanti te, they will come to me, the word upayanti must be defined as parakiya bhavina, upapati. Pati means husband, and upapati means paramo. In Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is not considered a lawful husband, but he is the Lord of the heart, transcendental to even the husband, parakiya ras. Deceiving their husbands, the gopis of Vrindavan unite with Krishna. They do not allow a second party to come between them and Krishna. They cannot allow the interception of social law or even scriptural regulation, because Krishna's position is absolute, and such a relationship is more relishable to him. This is Vrindavan Bhajana, and this is the meaning of Upapati. And by Vrindavan Bhajana, there is a footnote which reads, first quote from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.39, quote, "A self-controlled person who possesses sincere faith in the divine pastimes transcendentally enjoyed by Lord Krishna and the gopis, Rasa Leela, and who, having heard those divine pastimes from the lotus mouth of the bona fide guru, constantly sings or narrates their glories, such a person swiftly achieves the most elevated form of pure devotion for the Lord, and is promptly able to ward off the heart disease of lust." Close quote. And continuing the footnote, in his writings, Srila Jiva Goswami has laid stress on the word dhira, meaning self-controlled. To hear these elevated subjects, one must enter into the culture of sense control, otherwise he will be lost. And a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.30, "No one should ever even think of imitating this behavior of the Supreme Lord and the gopis. If out of gross foolishness anyone tries to imitate the pastimes of the Lord, he will be destroyed, as though imitating Lord Shiva by drinking the poison which arose from the ocean." Close quote. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that once the demigods and the demons jointly engaged in churning the ocean to produce nectar. Both nectar and poison were produced, and Lord Shiva, by his power, could hold the poison within his throat. That's the end of the footnote. Now back to the continuation of the commentary to this verse 10.10 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And in the commentary, we're beginning with, quote, "My relationship with them is independent of everything conceivable, including law, society, and the scriptures. It is most innate and natural, and it does not require any social or scriptural sanction. I say to them, you may show formal respect to all these restrictions and live in the society, but from the heart of your heart you are mine. This is the special inspiration and insight I give those devotees. Buddhi yogam yena mam upayanti te. Externally, there are social and scriptural demands, but my position is over and above them. Veda is my instruction for the benefit of the masses who have deviated from me, and society is also under the jurisdiction of those general instructions given to the people by me. But my divine relationship with everything is intrinsic and independent. It does not require recognition from anyone. Such a relationship is the highest. It is the constant. It supersedes all law and society which are guided by the Vedas. Rather, all the Vedas are searching for such a thing." Close quote. Shruti bhir vimrigyam, in Bhagavatam 10.47.61, Vishesha mrigya, the Vedas are searching after this ideal divine position. In the section of the Srimad Bhagavatam which deals with the Rasa Leela, the Vedas are begging forgiveness. Quote, "We are generally supposed to give tidings of you, but we could not describe you as we now experience you here. Now we understand that we have committed an offense because we could not distribute this Rasa Leela to the world." Close quote. Like signposts, all the revealed scriptures are only showing the direction. But where, how, We don't know, only he may be available in this direction. Anywhere and everywhere, everything belongs to him. For one who knows this, all possibilities of sense pleasure and exploitation are uprooted. For example, an unmarried woman may have the possibility of being approached by many, but there is less possibility for those who are married, because they are possessed by someone. Similarly, when we are able to know that everything is only for the satisfaction of Krishna, then we shall realize that all our exploiting tendencies have vanished forever. Nothing will remain to be utilized for the pleasure of our sense experience. It will be very deeply felt in our hearts that everything has its existence only for his satisfaction, and there is no room for any other exploitation. We too are included there. Our existence is also only for his satisfaction. Everything is meant for his divine pastimes, Leela, and there is no possibility for any other's pastimes. All are included in that one Leela. Encroachment will disappear when we learn the proper utility of everything. He is the owner, and his ownership is absolute. The scriptures, society, and law designate, quote, "This is yours, that is another's, or that belongs to a third party." Close quote. This is something like a temporary lease, but the permanent ownership is in all respects with him. All others, possessor and property, master and servant, are relative and only sanctioned by him for the time being. He alone is the absolute owner, possessor and enjoyer. Complete purification of our hearts is possible only when we arrive at such a conclusion. Everyone is thinking of themselves as many masters of many things, but this is all heart disease, hridrogam. This is all conceived in a diseased state of consciousness. In a healthy state, when the heart is quite wholesome, we can see the supreme whole, and we can see that everything is meant only for his satisfaction. And back to the translation. Verse 11. Out of compassion for them, I, situated within the hearts of all living beings, dispel the darkness of ignorance with the radiance of knowledge. Or, an alternate translation, being conquered by the love of those devotees who in their unalloyed loving devotion become afflicted by the all-devouring darkness born of their pangs of separation from me, I illuminate their hearts with my presence, destroying the darkness of their pain of separation. And to this verse there is also a commentary. Of the two translations given above, the first is the most general interpretation of this verse. But if we appreciate pure, non-calculative devotion, jnana shunya bhakti, the Lord's statement here may again appear redundant and inconsistent. When those high devotees are already admitted to be performing continuous and unadulterated service, and even above that they are situated in the plane of pure love, spontaneous and automatic, raga marga, how can it be harmonized that the Lord will now, in the last stage, destroy their ignorance, tamaha, born of misunderstanding, ajnana jam, by giving them knowledge, jnana? Jnana is only a cover, a futile, finite conception of the infinite absolute. Jnana karmadi anavritam to bhaktir uttama. When they have achieved devotion devoid of the covering of knowledge, jnana shunya bhakti, how will they again have to return to that knowledge, jnana? In his commentary, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has mentioned that this knowledge is extraordinary, vilakshanam, though he did not enter into specific detail. To clarify this point, we have given the following explanation. Lamentation and delusion are generally known to be symptoms of the mode of ignorance, tamogun. In jnana shunya bhakti, the elevated devotees who take a Krishna not as the Supreme Lord, but as a friend, son, husband or lover, will come to experience lamentation and delusion, but this is only an outward appearance of ignorance. In fact, it is the pain of divine separation. They lament, "Where have you gone?" In this verse, the Lord's statement, "Tesham evanu kampatam," generally means, "Fortunately for them," or "To favor them, I dispel their darkness," etc. But it may also be interpreted, "I want their favor. I aspire for the favor of those devotees of the highest order." The Lord also says to the gopis in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.82.44, quote, "In general, people want devotion to me to achieve eternal life. To cross the limit of mortality and to have eternal life, they come to me and worship me. For these reasons, they want my service. But fortunately for you, O gopis, you have some natural affection towards me. That will ultimately bring you to me." Close quote. This is the general meaning. However, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has drawn out the inner meaning of what Krishna is saying to the gopis, which is just the opposite. Quote, "Through devotion, everyone wants me to help them attain the highest position of eternal benefit. And if they have a connection with me, they consider themselves fortunate. But I consider myself fortunate because I have come in touch with the valuable affection that I found in your hearts. By my fortune, I have got your association." Close quote. Therefore, here in Sri Gita, the Lord is saying, quote, "Tesham evanu kampatam," being conquered by the love of those unalloyed devotees, when I cannot tolerate their pain of separation, I at once come running to satisfy them, and I reveal to them with special light, special consciousness, "I have returned to you, see me now." With powerful brilliance, jnana dipena, I show them my presence when they are very much in need of me, and I relieve their pain of separation. Close quote. Atma bhava staha. He reveals himself according to his devotees' divine relationship with him, rasa. To a friend as a friend, to a mother as a child, to a wife as a husband, and to the sweethearts as a paramour. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home and accepted the renounced order of life, sannyas, Mother Sachi could not tolerate the deep separation, and she began to cry. Sachi Devi was preparing excellent dishes, offering them to the deity and weeping, "Where is my Nimai? He's very fond of these curries, his favorite dishes, and Nimai is not here." Suddenly, Lord Chaitanya came and began to eat. Sachidevi exclaimed, "Oh, Nimai is eating!" And for the time being, her separation was relieved. Moments later, she reconsidered, "Did I see Nimai eating? But he is now a sannyasi in Jagannath Puri, so how could he have come here? Did I serve him? There must be a mistake. Then she examined the pots again to see if there was food there. Finding them empty, she began to conjecture whether even a dog or some other animal had come and eaten it. But during that moment, Nimai had actually come, and Mother Sachi saw him in broad daylight. That illumination is transcendental, and not the knowledge, jnana, that is generally known in our vocabulary. The acme of theism is Parakīya Ras. Parakīya means another's. In every divine relationship, the Lord captures all. In the whole of Vrindavan, where everyone follows the path of love, Raga Marga, this Parakīya Rasa is infused. The friends of Krishna sometimes say, quote, "Some people say that Krishna is a resident of Mathura. They say he is the son of Vasudev, and he will soon go to Mathura. They say he is not our friend. Will we really lose his company? Then how will we be able to live in this jungle and herd the cows?" Close quote. They experience this apprehension of, "We may lose him at any time." This intensifies their friendly service to him. Similarly, Mother Yashoda thinks, "Some say that Krishna is not my son. He's Devaki's son. What is this? I won't admit this. He is my child." This idea enhances Yashoda's affection for Krishna. "I may lose him. Then how shall I live?" Therefore, the Parakīya Ras stresses the rarity of Krishna's relationship because the possibility of losing his company is always in the background. But the highest intensity of service is to be found in the Madhura Ras, consorthood group. In the other rasas, there is the idea of suspense that he may go away. But in the consorthood relationship, in the divine abode of Vrindavan, the consorts cross the direction of the scriptures and the society, which guide everyone to remain as husband and wife, Svakīya. Parakīya, another's, has been accepted in the science of devotion as the highest conception, above the socially and scripturally sanctioned Svakīya, one's own. Parakīya, or paramour relationship, nourishes the pastimes of Krishna by deceiving one who claims ownership over another, such as a husband over a wife or a parent over a child. The normally accepted relationship of Svakīya is commonplace, but to cross the jurisdiction of the scriptures and society as a paramour means a greater risk, as if to commit sin. Thus, this relationship is very rare, and rarity enhances its intensity and value. The idea of deceiving the possessor to favour the non-possessor, in the spiritual sense, is a beautiful ornamental conception. Actually, in Krishna's case, there cannot be any state of paramourship, because in truth he is the owner of everything. However, the divine arrangement is fashioned in this way to enhance the devotee's internal devotion for the Lord, just as food appears more tasteful when hunger is present. In Vaikuntha, the nature of the worship of Lord Vishnu is gorgeous, majestic, reverential and awe-inspiring. But above that, in the highest conception, Godhead is human-like in form and nature. It is stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the teachings to Sanatana Goswami, quote, "The highest form of Godhead is Krishna, who plays in his eternal divine pastimes like a human being. an ever-youthful cowherd boy of Vrindavan, the best of dancers. He enjoys his pastimes, always playing his flute. His beauty is so charming and sweet that the whole universe is flooded by even the tiniest atom of it, and all beings are attracted irresistibly to him. Close quote. He is approachable by all. We can find God nearest of all, in a human feature. It has been explained how Krishna's form of human feature is the highest form of the Absolute, according to the calculation of ecstasy, rasa, which is the common standard of measurement of the whole scope of the infinite. By the development of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhura, and then Parakya rasa, that is, tranquility, servitude, friendship, parenthood, consorthood, and then paramour relationship. This is scientifically proven without whimsical or blind faith. If we follow the line of Rupanuga Bhajan, devotion following the line of Srila Rupa Goswami, which originates from Sri Chaitanya Dev, this scientific basis can be appreciated. The previous acharyas have left comprehensive teachings for us on how to follow, conceive, and attain all these things. And that's the end of the commentary of verse 11 of this chapter 10. Now back to the translations. Verses 12 and 13, continuing. Arjuna said, O Lord, you are the supreme Brahman, the supreme shelter and the supreme saviour. All the prominent sages such as Devarshi Narad, Asita, Devala and Vyasa have described you as the self-manifest, eternal supreme person, the fountainhead of all opulences and the root of all existence from whose divine play everything emanates. And now you are personally declaring this to be the truth. O Keshava, I fully accept all that you have said. O Lord, indeed neither demigods nor demons know your personality in full. O Supreme Person, Universal Father, Lord of all beings, God of the gods, Lord of the universe, only you can know yourself by your own divine potency. Please describe to me in full your personal opulences by which you pervade all these worlds. O Lord of divine potency, how can I be constantly absorbed in thought of you? How can I know you? And in which forms should I think of you? O Janardan, please again describe in detail your opulences and the path of devotion for you, for I never tire of hearing your ambrosial words. The Supreme Lord said, O Arjuna, best of the Kurus, my glories are unlimited, so I shall tell you of my principal transcendental opulences, manifest in this world by my divine potency. O conqueror of sleep, I am the supersoul within the hearts of all beings, and I am their beginning, middle and end. Of the 12 Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of the luminaries, I am the radiant sun. Of the Vayus, I am Marichi. Of stars, I am the moon. Of the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. Of the demigods, I am Indra. Of the senses, I am the mind, and I am the life of all that lives. Of the 11 Rudras, I am Shankara, and of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am Kubera. Of the 8 Vasus, I am Agni, and of mountains, I am Sumeru. O Partha, you should know me as the chief of priests, Brihaspati. Of generals, I am Kartikeya, and of reservoirs, I am the ocean. Of great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of sound vibrations, I am Om. Of all sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names. And of the immovable, I am the Himalayas. I am the Ashvata among trees, Narada of godly sages, Chitrarata of heavenly singers, and Kapila Muni of perfected beings. Among horses, know me as Uchchaishrava, who was born of nectar. Know me as Airavata among elephants, and king among men. Of weapons I am the thunderbolt, and of cows I am the heavenly desire-fulfilling cow. Of cupids I am the progenitor, and of one-headed venomous snakes I am Vasuki, the king of snakes. Of the multi-headed non-poisonous serpents I am the Ananta Naga, and of aquatics I am Varunadev. Of the deified ancestors, I am Aryama, and of ministers, I am Yamaraj, the lord of punishment. Of the daityas, I am Prahlad, and of subjugators, I am Time. Of animals, I am the lion, and of birds, I am Garuda. Of sanctifiers, I am the wind. Of weapon-wielding heroes, I am Lord Parashurama. Among fish I am the shark, and of rivers I am the Ganges. O Arjuna, of all that is manifest I am the beginning, middle and end. Of all wisdom I am self-knowledge, and I am the philosophy of philosophers. Of the primary letters of the alphabet I am the letter A, and of compound words I am the dual. I alone am the endless flow of time, and of universal creators I am the four-headed Lord Brahma. Of plunderers I am all-devouring death, and of the predestined six transformations I am birth, the foremost. Of the feminine qualities I am fame, beauty, perfect speech, remembrance, intelligence, patience and forgiveness, the seven wives of Dharma. Of all the mantras in the Samaveda, I am the Brihatsama prayer to Lord Indra. And of metrical mantras, I am the holy Gayatri mantra. Of the months, I am the foremost, Agrahayan. And of the seasons, I am flower-bearing spring. I am the gambling of cheats and the glory of the glorious. I am victory. I am perseverance. And I am the power of truth of the honest. Of the Yadavas, I am Vasudev. Of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Of the sages, I am Vyasadev. And of knowers of the scriptures, I am Shukracharya. I am the punishment meted out by the enforcers of the law. I am the political wisdom of those desiring to conquer. I am the silence of all secrets. I am the wisdom of the wise. O Arjuna, whatever is considered the origin of all beings, I am that. Nothing, whether stationary or moving, can exist without me. O conqueror of the enemy, my divine glories have no end. I have given you but an indication of them. Know for certain that whatever is magnificent, beautiful, or glorious is born of but a fraction of my power. But, O Arjuna, what is the need of elaborating further on my opulences? I support this entire universe in my fractional expansion as the supersoul of material nature. End of chapter 10. The Divine Glories of the Lord. From the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the Yoga Scripture of Transcendental Knowledge, in Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharat, the holy scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses.